This is Genoa.
This is Yusuf.
And this is Inflight Entertainment.
And we're keeping a triple F momentum going. For those who don't know, it's the freaking frightening film month. And yeah,
we are diving into our final throwback.
Yes.
This is a request by me. This is a movie from my childhood that has stuck with me over the ages. I don't know why, but it has. And we started off the month with the ladies, and now we're ending the month with the kids.
Full circle.
Yeah. So the movie came out in 1974, and it was rated PG. Mm-hmm. So I watched this movie quite a bit as a child. It might explain a whole lot of things. Yeah. And it is... It's alive.
It's alive! It's alive! Jenna one text, like, okay, we gotta do It's Alive. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, did I ever see this movie? And then Jenna showed the trailer, like, oh, this is it. Which is like the most mysterious of trailers because it don't really show too much. The teaser don't really show too much. I was like, huh, maybe? And when I'm seeing it, there's a scene that we're going to talk about. I'm like, oh, I remember that scene. And then there you go. So like Jenna said, this film was released September 28, 1974. Now, September, well, you know, around that time, it was a good time in television. We were watching some good stuff. Man, I'm kind of envious. So this is 74. So MASH, number 5. The Jeffersons, number 4. Chico and the Man was number 3. Fredgie Sanford and Son was number 2. And Archie Bunker and the gang held it down, All in the Family. Damn, that's some good television.
Oh, yeah. That was a good year for television.
Yes. I mean, just heavy hitters from 1 to 5. Bang, 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 bang.
So both of you, you and I were not born when this movie came out. But we discovered it later.
Yep. Yes. Way later.
So what was the big song in 74?
All right, I'm gonna like type this on YouTube. I don't really know this song. It's called "Rock Me Gently" by Andy Kim.
Yeah, I don't know that song.
All right, yeah, I'm gonna type on YouTube and play it and see if I recognize the song or not. But that's what they're rocking with on their 8-tracks. You know, "Rock Me Gently," Andy Kim.
A couple big things. Also were happening in society. Yeah, Roe versus Wade. Yep. That decision was made in 73. You also had a lot of women joining the workforce and sort of that family unit where the woman stayed home and took care of the family was sort of changing. Birth control was more prevalent than it had ever been before. And so you really had this way like society from a very conservative, traditional type of perspective was sort of falling apart. And so in the 70s, you had a lot of horror movies that were looking at the dynamic of, or really like speaking on society's dynamic of how the family unit was falling apart. And so you had a couple movies, horror movies that really touched on the evil child, because if the child's not being taken care of because the mom's not around, then of course the child's going to go evil. And you had like Rosemary's Baby,
Omen,
and you have It's Alive. I think you have, I'm pretty sure The Bad Seed came out in the 70s, and you know, that's a one. But yeah, so horror movies like to really speak to the what's happening in society in a roundabout way. Oh, you also had what was the Exorcist?
Yeah,
the one child, evil child. So It's Alive. I think It's Alive in the movie. There's definitely a couple scenes where they call this out big time, that I missed as a child, but caught on this today as I was watching the movie. So what's the story? The story is about the Davies are expecting a baby, which turns out to be a monster with a nasty habit of killing when it's scared. And it's easily scared.
Yeah, clearly. Now, okay, so this film was directed by Larry Cohen. Now, there's a few movies I have to mention in his filmography. So, yeah, we have, you know, It Lives. But he dipped his toes in the blaxploitation films and two classic blaxploitation films that he blessed us with was Black Caesar. Well, he wrote it. And Hell Up in Harlem. Both came out the same year. And like I said, both of those films came out in 73, and he dropped It's Alive later that year in 74. So
he was actually filming Hell Up in Harlem and It's Alive at the exact same time. They were filming Hell Up in Harlem on the weekends and It's Alive during the weekday. And I believe you can actually see some of the same characters in both of those movies.
Yep.
But the crew was basically working 7 days a week. They didn't get any breaks, which is crazy. Also illegal.
Yeah. Well, I guess the unions are like, yeah, if you want to work, you can work, whatever. No. and also I have to mention the man that gave us the score for this movie. Mr. Bernard Herrmann. For those who haven't heard, I'm sure you heard some of his movies. He did a lot of stuff with Brian De Palma he did Obsession and Sisters. But everyone will know him from his score in Taxi Driver. I mean, the most iconic score you ever hear. Taxi Driver. So after he did It's Alive in 74, he went on to score Taxi Driver in 76. And I think that gave him an Oscar nomination, or he won an Oscar for that one. I'm not sure, but I still listen to the Taxi Driver score to this day. And he's been around. He did a lot of stuff for TV shows like the old Twilight Zone. Some episodes for the old Twilight Zone, Lost in Space. The 75 show. Yeah, and then he moved up to, movies. And then he went back to TV. He composed an episode of Knight Rider, Remington Steele, Moonlighting, Murder, She Wrote. So, yeah, he was doing his thing.
He also was sort of silly. Or liked the puns when it came to naming the songs. There's a scene where the milkman gets killed in this movie. And the name of that song is "The Milkman Goeth."
Nice. Yeah, he winneth. Yeah. Yeah, this is a very unique movie. All right, so give me your recollection, like when you first seen. So were you with your parents? Was this something that you kind of stumbled upon on like cable? Or TV? You're like, oh, what's this?
I'm pretty sure I discovered this in like afternoon, like random TV shows you just discover, like on TBS always showed random movies. And I saw It's Alive, It's Alive 2, and It's Alive 3 all on that show or channel. And there's certain movies that stick with you from your childhood, and they all stuck with me. For some reason, I always thought it was like a fake movie. I didn't think it was real. So when we were trying to think of other movies to review, I was like, Killer Baby, that has to be, I had to Google it to see if I imagined it or if it was a real movie. And it turns out it was a real movie. I didn't imagine it.
Mm-hmm. And you watched it numerous times.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Oh, that's funny. All right. So
I'm not saying it's the reason why I don't have kids or don't want children, because I was never into playing house, but maybe it contributed to it.
It's like, hey, no mutant baby coming out of me. No, sirree, Bob. So you are enlightened with the knowledge of all three movies. So I only seen the first. I did not see the two or three. So did two and three, did it drop the ball or did it like pick it up and like ran with it?
I feel like number two really continued with the story. They set up the end at the end of one to let you know that maybe there's something going on. There's a couple lines at the beginning of the movie, which makes you think that the reason why this is happening is because of what women are doing to their bodies. One question is, are you living near a nuclear plant? And then one of the physicians goes, well, how long was she on birth control before she got pregnant, making it feel like women being on birth control is the reason why this is happening to their babies. And then another line that the physician asks, did you ever consider abortion? And the husband goes, well, of course we did. Nowadays, everyone considers it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, movie It's Alive 1 and It's Alive Again definitely continued on with that story. It's Alive 3 is like an island of scary babies. I don't think that continued on with the story very well.
Okay, so second question. If they were to like revisit this franchise, which director would you see like get doing this kind of premise justice?
If you did Us.
Oh, Peele. Jordan Peele.
Yeah, I would want him to do it.
Oh, actually, that would be interesting. He could throw some. Definitely some social commentary of modernize it.
Right, because It's Alive is sort of a social commentary on women taking control of their bodies and doing what they want with it. And because they're doing what they want with it, you end up with these horrific babies. So I feel like he could do a nice modern twist to it. I don't know if it would end up being babies, but something similar where you would have that social commentary.
Yeah, some kind of mutation of life as a result of ... Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Right. Okay. I would definitely go with that. If you want something, I would say if they want to approach it more like atmospheric and, you know, creepy, I would say Ari Aster.
Wait, what has he done?
Hereditary.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, it would be more like atmospheric and very, you know, like shadowy, you know.
I can see it being something similar to Hereditary, not the one where it's like the one that takes place in the fields.
Oh, Midsommar?
Midsommar.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I guess got two candidates. So what I noted or what I got out of this, well, at least the dad.
Yeah.
Not a great father. Not a great dad.
I mean, he's your standard 50s dad where he has his job and taking care of the kids is up to the wife and he's not involved in any of that. He doesn't know what's going on with his wife. He's just sort of removed.
Yeah. totally removed. Yeah. And it is not until the end where he connect with his fatherhood, if you want to say that. And it's like, hey,
like his character is put in this weird position where he has to be sort of, is he a protector or is he a nurturer?
Right.
And the entire, like, 95% of the film, he's trying to protect his family, not realizing that this child that has a deformity is actually something that he also has to protect, that he's out to kill the child because he thinks the child's ruining the family. And then, yeah, at the very end, he realizes you can nurture even the ugliest of children.
So eloquently put there, Jen.
I guess the evilest of children.
Sure, even though it wasn't evil, it was instinctive. It attacks. Yeah, you know, if it's scared, it attacks.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I mean, like an animal, you know, like you try to come at a dog, instinctively the dog is going to bark, like, get away from me.
It was just protecting itself. So we keep talking about, like, the baby and everything. Basically, what happens at the beginning of the movie is the wife goes into labor and they go to the hospital. And the husband and all the other fathers-to-be are out in the waiting room, and she's in with the doctors. She gives birth, and as the baby comes out of her, it runs around the room, killing all the doctors and the nurses, and then escapes the hospital.
Yeah. I mean, even though when you look at the blood, it's like, it's the fakest you get. It's almost like it was just red paint. They just kind of just splattered over everyone. It didn't have the thickness of, like, corn syrup and dye. It seemed very watery. It just, like, it just splashed red paint over everybody. I was like, but, like, as much as you've seen, and we kept talking about this, like, this is a PG movie. Like, PG meaning parental guidance is suggested, but you could take your kids to see this movie. Like, I wonder how many traumatized kids actually. Okay, podcast land. Anyone who's, you know, of a certain age that seen this movie in theaters, please let us know. And how did that make you feel afterwards? We would like to know.
Right. The tagline for the movie is the one film you should not see alone.
Oh, goodness. See, and I would be the stupid parent that'd be like, oh, is it rated R? No. Okay, come on. Let's go see it, guys. Yeah, like, that would freak me out. Like, I'd be just as scared as my kid coming out that movie. Like, oh my goodness, I look at my kid differently. Like, let me check your fingers. Let me see your toes. Like, let me check your teeth.
So like the rest of the movie, we're sort of following two different characters throughout the entire movie. We're following the father and how he's dealing with a killer baby. And then we're also following the baby as it journeys through Beverly Hills, which was hilarious because we mentioned the milkman. As the milkman was driving up to the house where he was dropping off the milk, I know exactly what house that is. I drive by it every weekend on my way to Franklin Canyon to go hiking with the dog.
Really?
And now I have a whole new respect for this house up in Beverly Hills. But we're following the baby as it crawls through Beverly Hills, and every time it gets scared, it attacks and kills someone because it's just worried. And it's just trying to make its way home to get back to mommy and daddy. But as I was watching this, I kept texting Yusuf. I was like, oh my God, there's so many HIPAA issues with characters in this movie. First off, the dad, when he goes back to his job, his boss is like, well, I called the doctors to find out what was going on with your wife. And I feel like there's too much going on in your life, so we're going to let you go now.
Okay. Yeah.
HIPAA issue. Your doctor should not be telling your boss what is going on in your like wife's medical problems.
Yeah.
Also, it's illegal to fire someone because they're having medical issues. And then they had like a stay-at-home nurse that was supposed to be taking care of the wife as she recovers after her ordeal. And she has a recorder and she's going to like write a story and sell it to the newspaper. Hello.
Yeah, it was very loose. It was like, you know, the legality to everything was very loose in this movie. And if I was the dad, if I was the husband, I caught that. I mean, one, I would have, you know, sat her down, called police, arrest her, got her out of there. Yeah, you know, and okay, this is the 70s. Like, it wasn't like, you know, little micro recorders. There's like huge brick recorders that if you threw it at someone, you would knock them unconscious. And she had, I get your gripes, but me, my biggest visual gripe was like that big brick of a recorder she pulls out. I was like, no one's seen that bulge anywhere around her. It's like, it's a big old recorder. Anyways.
People had big purses. You could hide those things in the big purses.
Yeah, I guess. So me and Genoa had some gripes with a lot of things.
So there's something else that's amazing about this movie is that the special effects, the visual effects were done by Rick Baker.
Master Rick.
Who... people may know him from American Werewolf in London and a few other things.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually working on The Exorcist when he got a phone call from the director, Larry Cohen, asking him if he wanted to work on this. And they made an adult sized baby in order to film some of the close-ups of the baby scene. And Rick Baker's wife, girlfriend at the time, was the model for that like bodysuit and the giant head. And the reason why he picked his wife to do it was because, I needed someone available 24 hours. And so they were living together and it was just easier for her to be right there in the garage as he was building stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not creepy at all.
Right.
Especially what he came up with. I mean, which is very practical. And it was almost like Jaws style editing, whereas you don't really see the baby. You hear it, which is very disturbing. Cry slash mutant like crying. And you know, you see, and it's a lot of POVs. It's like the POV, you know, of him kind of going, you know, through woods and through trees and bushes, hiding in bushes, looking at things. You know, POV of, you know, him climbing into the milk truck. So you know he's in there. So you see little flashes here and there. You don't like see a full like 3 to 5 seconds of it. But you kind of see him like little cuts, like a frame here, a frame there. It's like Jaws type editing. It's like you know the threat's there. You see, you know it's eating people, but you don't really see it. Yeah,
I feel like they were having so much fun on this film. So the entire city of Los Angeles is like on the hunt for this killer baby. And there's one scene where all the cops like go up and they're raiding a house because there's a baby that they've heard crying. And they all turn the corner and point their guns. And it's this little baby playing in the backyard.
Okay. How they kind of held on that shot, like going back and forth, back and forth. I thought they're actually going to shoot. Because, I mean, they had the guns drawn for a long time. I'm like, is someone going to mistakenly pull the trigger and kill this little baby?
Spoiler alert. At the very end, the baby does get killed. But the father's holding the baby and he's like, you can't kill my baby. you know, there's nothing wrong with him. He was just scared. And then at the last second, for some reason, he throws his baby at one of the cops. Yeah. And all the cops heard and kill the baby and the cop.
Right.
And it's just like, oh my God.
Yeah, like that dad of the year, just when you thought he turned a new leaf, he's like, you kill him. And he just threw it at the cop. Yeah, that was a very bizarre, like, outcome. I thought he was going to, like, you know, like, I'm going to die with my kid, damn it. You know, right. Like, because I'm the protector. He was like, it's like, go ahead, you can kill him. Yeah, and then, you know, the ending spawns the sequel in the dirt.
Right, it's a fantastic way to end a movie because they, like, the husband and wife, mommy and daddy are sitting in the back of the police car, and the scientist or a cop gets in the car, and he's like, just got off the phone or something, or off the radio. He goes, "We're headed to Seattle. There's another one." She's like, "Yes, thank you."
Yeah, like, oh, cliffhanger. Yeah, so it's like, well, shit, I gotta watch the second one because there's another one in Seattle.
Right, so both It's Alive and It's Alive Again are on Prime Video. So our rating is Safe on the Sofa. Getting your chainsaw, whatever you need to protect yourself from killer babies, or going out in the street and having the killer babies attack you.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. So or you go outside, pour milk all over you and just be like, here I am.
Right. So what is it for you?
For me, I mean, just for the sheer bizarre nature of this film, I have to give it a sit down. I mean, it was total B movie style, but that's the charm of it. It's like you can't put it above a B movie because that's not what it was set out to do. It was set out to like be like this low budget. It felt like almost it felt like a budget of a blaxploitation film because everything was very just, you know, cheap. So yeah, I mean, it sit down, watch it, and then follow it up with the sequels. What do you give it?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely Sit on the Sofa to me, or Safe on the Sofa. I had so much fun watching it today. So.
Yeah. And then, side note, if you want to kind of do a bunny hop of the director's movie, I highly encourage you to check out Black Caesar and Hell Up in Harlem. Blaxploitation films at its finest.
Mm. Right. I mean, really, like, you can go check out the director's movies. The composer's movies, Taxi, everyone should go watch that.
Oh, yeah.
And then the special effects guy, go watch Exorcist or American Werewolf in London. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yes.
There's some fantastic people working on this film.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong, you know, with all of these people. So, yeah, there you have it. It's Alive. If this is one of the films that, you know, went over your head or you didn't hear about, definitely check it out. It's on Amazon because that, I mean, it's easy to not know this film because every time Halloween comes up, you got your usual suspects, right? But no one never bring this movie up, like almost never. So I can see how it kind of scaled back into obscurity because, you know, like, oh, Halloween, oh, Texas Chainsaw, oh, you know, Nightmare on the Street, blah, 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 blah. But no one ever really bring up this movie, and they should.
Yes, agreed.
So there you have it, guys. It's Alive. We suggest it. It's a fun B-movie romp with bizarre mutant babies, and you guys will dig it. Yeah, so we will see you on the flip side next week. Until then, we wish y'all safe physical distancing and
wear a mask. And next Tuesday will be your last time to vote. So please vote.
Yes, please.